Hello and welcome to Pumped, the Inside Podcast by Schwalbe. I'm your host Tobias Vogon, and I'm talking here with Schwalbe athletes from different disciplines, from downhill to cross country, or from triathlon to road racing. And today I'm talking to Pablo from Baikkonen. Pablo is traveling the world with his bike, but he never travels alone. He always has his two dogs with him. And in this podcast, we're talking about how it works to travel with two dogs in a tent and on a bike, and what he does to save street dogs. Pablo, thank you so much for taking the time to do the podcast with us. Where are you right now?
I am in Spain, in Valencia. This is in the Mediterranean Sea, in the coast. It's a nice place. Thank you to you to invite me. This is my first experience with an English podcast. I know how it will work.
I bet it will. It will work. No problem. So that means you have, at the moment, you still have some good weather, right? How warm is it at your place right now?
Now it's raining a lot.
Okay.
Yeah. Yesterday it was like 30 degrees, very hot, like summer, but now it's raining a lot. But now today I am in a house and it's okay. Yesterday was with bike and
yeah,
I have a good timing.
The last few days, it was hard to reach you because you were on a trip with your bike. So where have you been?
I was cycling around here in Valencia, discovering places in my country because I travel a lot outside of my country, and here in Spain we have amazing places. Mm-hmm. I was in a area called Ayora Valley, and was really, really nice. I love it a lot.
Okay. So, you're always on the road and you travel a lot, but where did you grow up? So did you grow up near Valencia or do you move there?
I grew up in the north coast of Spain. The name region is Asturias. Mm-hmm. It's not very popular outside of Spain because it's not sunny and it's rainy, and when people come to Spain wants to see the sun and and the hot weather. But it's really nice area, big mountains, green forest, really nice. I grew up there and I started to bike there when I was a child. But like 6 years ago, I quit my job and started to travel around in Spain and outside of Spain and discovering new places.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so and then you moved to Valencia, or you are in Valencia right now because you're spending time there?
No, I don't have place. I am a nomad since 2015.
Okay.
And here now I am in a friend's house, but I don't have my own place since 6 years. Okay. I am moving sometimes and I stop in some place, some country for a few weeks, few months, or during Corona time, I was in Georgia for more than 1 year and a half.
Yeah.
But usually I am moving always.
Okay. So that sounds pretty interesting. You always travel with your bike. How did you get into cycling?
Yeah, I started cycling when I was a child, but, you know, 1 kilometer or around my countryside. But in 2010, I decided to take a bike, some bags, put a lot of things in the bags, and take my dog and try to travel, try to bikepacking. Not bikepacking, because I travel with a trailer and a lot of clothes, a lot of things. I travel around 200 kilometers only. Mm-hmm. Close to my region, and I discover a new world, the freedom, do as I want when I want, sleeping outside, and for me was amazing. And since this moment, my life changed, and I start to travel more and more and more. And 5 years later of that, I quit my job for travel, only for travel around with a bike and my dog.
Yeah, so that's a pretty good and also a crazy decision. So to leave your job behind for traveling around and exploring the world. What was your job?
I was fireman. I work with fires and rescue people in the mountains. I also work with training dogs to find lost people in the mountains.
Okay.
I love my job and I enjoy my job a lot. But when I was traveling on a bike, it was totally different. For me, traveling on a bike was like happiness, always happy. the freedom, the discovering new places, new people. For me, was the perfect life, and I want to do this all the time. I prefer to travel than work, of course, no? For me, was difficult decision because you are afraid in the first time. You are afraid. Okay, what I will do? How I have money traveling on a bike is, but I think okay, I will find a way. I decide to quit and start to explore other ways to have money.
Yeah, but I think this is something where a lot of people dream about, to just quit the job and then traveling around and see the world. But most people, they don't do it because they are fear, and they don't want to do the step to really quit the job. So it's good that you have made the decision. But the really exciting thing about you is that you never travel alone. You always have one, and now you have two travel companions. Who do you travel with?
Yeah, I travel with my dog. Hippie is the old one, and Pizza is the youngest, the new one. I started to travel with in 2010 with another dog. Negrito was the name. Mm-hmm. In Spanish, it's like Blackie.
Yeah,
because okay. he was black.
Okay,
and he was my search and rescue dog. And when I was working with, and after I start to travel with Hippie because the other dog dies. Mm-hmm. I start to travel with Hippie. I never travel alone on a bike, never, always with my dogs, always. And this winter, when I was in Georgia, the last winter, in Georgia there are many, many street dogs, and I found some of them. I tried to find houses for some of them, but I found one who was very special, and I take with me to try to find a house, but finally I decide to keep with me, and now we are traveling together, three in a bike. Sometimes it's difficult or hard, but it's very funny, and for me it's amazing. I love dogs. You understand?
Yeah.
All of my life around dogs, working with dogs, and now traveling with dogs.
That's
perfect.
That is great, and it's always, as you say, sometimes it's difficult, but it's always a good time to have a really close friend and a dog always on your side.
It's difficult because the world is not prepared to travel with dogs. It's difficult to. I don't take planes. Because it's dangerous to travel with your dog in the plane. They can lose it. The dog is very stressed for the dog.
Yeah.
Or the hotels is very difficult. It's very strange that I go to a hotel, something like that, because they don't want dogs inside. And you have to camp a lot or find a camping or or in the forest or wherever.
Yeah.
But it's not easy. Travel with a dog, but like dogs, is amazing. Yeah.
But what is your connection to dogs? So have you always lived with dogs? Have you grown up with dogs? Or what's the thing?
Yeah, I grow with dogs since I remember there are a dog around me.
Mm-hmm.
For me, the dog is not like a pet or like a thing that you have. For me, it's something more, because for more than 10 years, I was working with a dog like a partner.
Mm-hmm.
We were partners trying to rescue people in the mountains.
Yeah.
And now traveling for me is the same. The dog is not a thing that I carry with me in the bike. It's a partner. And
yeah.
I do some jobs when we're traveling, and my dogs do another jobs. For example, when we were camping in the forest or in the wilderness, they are looking for strange things. They have amazing hear. Mm-hmm. They can listen a lot.
Yeah.
For very far away. And if I see my dog, if I look my dog, I know what is happening. If there is some wind or animal or people around, I can see the difference only looking to my dog. And for me, this is amazing. Or when I want to go to a supermarket, I can leave the bike outside, and I'm very, very calm, because I know if someone goes around the bike, my dog starts to bark, and it's like an alarm. Yeah.
Yeah. No one would like to fight with two dogs just to steal a bike, right?
With one, I'm sure not, because one is like 20 kilos. It's like a mix of German Shepherd.
Mm-hmm.
And she can be aggressive. She's good, but she can be aggressive if the situation needs.
Yeah.
But the youngest, the new one, is like a small border collie.
Mm-hmm.
Like 10 kilos, and she's very cute, and she never afraid people. And yeah, she's not aggressive, and yeah, it's different. Okay. Yeah, it's very different.
Okay, so when you're riding on trails, the dogs probably walk beside you or run behind you. But how is it when you travel longer distance? How do the dogs travel?
Yeah, in the beginning, I start to travel with a trailer. I try two trailers,
mm-hmm.
but I don't like so much. It was big and cheap trailers, not good. And after, I try to find a way to carry my dogs in the bike, in a box.
Mm-hmm.
In a box up of the rear wheel.
Yeah.
And it works very well. A hippie weighed 20 kilos. And yeah, for me, 20 kilos is the limit to carry your dog in your bike. I break a lot of racks until I buy an expensive one.
Yeah.
And it works. This works. because I am dog trainer, I train my dog to up and down when I say.
Yeah.
And when I was cycling, without a stop, only go a little bit slower. I say down, the dog go down, walking in my side. Because when we were climbing, the dog have to walk, because if not, it's very hard, and the dog loves to run or loves to walk.
Mm-hmm.
And when we go down or fast, she was in the box, and it works for 10 years. It works very, very, very well. Now she's almost 12 years old. And jump into the box, up and down, is not possible now.
Yeah.
I was trying with a backpack. When I am in the mountains, the backpack is a very good solution.
Mm-hmm.
Because you can do the same without the dog or with the dog, because the dog is in the backpack.
Yeah.
It only is 20 kilos, it's heavy, but you can do mountain biking very well. But the long distance is too heavy. And now I am trying with a trailer. It's a new trailer. It's a bikepacking trailer, very, very light, very, very good thinking. I don't know if it's good.
Yeah.
If you say that, and yeah, it works very well. It works very well. And see, the hippie, the old and heavy, now traveling in the trailer in the long distance. But if we go to the mountain biking route with a backpack.
Yeah.
And the other dog, the youngest, is 10 kilos. He's in the handlebar. I have a bike packing setup with front bags, and there is a lot of space in the top, and she's like lying in the mm-hmm. in top of here, and she runs more than the other one, than the old one,
yeah.
And sometimes in the handlebar. You can save pictures in my Instagram if yeah. you are thinking what
I've seen these pictures, and they're looking so cute, and it's looking so cool. So we will definitely check your Instagram account in the description of the podcast,
mm-hmm.
because yeah, if you listen to the podcast, you definitely have to go to your Instagram account and see these pictures. They're looking amazing. It's so funny how yeah. How they are.
Yeah, it's better to see to understand.
Yeah.
No, this is so strange. Yeah.
So as you already said, it's always difficult to find a place to sleep. So you can't really go to a lot of hotels. But what is your normal setup when you go on a trip? Do you have tent, or do the dogs sleep outside or inside? Or how do you stay overnight?
Yeah, for me, the beginning was hard because, you know, in the beginning, start to camping outside. Sometimes it's you are scared, or is you are afraid, or,
mm-hmm.
you know, the monsters, the killers, all of these things. And I tried to go to hostels, to places to sleep, and I never can. And I start to camp outside, and for me, it was like a present. I have to say thank you to these people for don't allow me to sleep inside, because yeah. I discovered the wild camping, and for me, it's amazing. In the beginning, I don't travel with a tent. I travel only with a vivi bag. Mm-hmm. And I was traveling 5 years like this. Only the days with rain, I tried to find a church, a bridge, some place with roof,
mm-hmm.
for the water. And after I have a tent. It's a very light and small tent, and I don't want to use it, only use in case of it's raining or mosquitoes or something like that,
mm-hmm.
or snow, or yeah, you know. And I prefer to sleep outside, looking to the stars, or yeah, I prefer don't use the tent.
Yeah.
And but when I use the tent, the dogs stay with me inside, of course. Yeah, they have their own mattress,
yeah.
And I have 2-person tent for my dogs, and yeah, yeah, they just live with me, of course. Yeah,
that's cool. And especially when the weather gets a little bit colder, they keep you warm, right?
Yes or not, because I open my sleeping bag. And mm-hmm. I cover my dogs with the sleeping bag, and the sleeping bag doesn't work well when it's open.
Ah, okay. Yeah.
And it's more like a blanket than a sleeping bag.
Yeah.
And yeah, I have to wear always a jacket or something and open the sleeping bag, and we are like, yeah, it's not very comfortable, I think, but yeah, you can hug your dog during the night, and yeah.
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 Okay. So in the corona time, you were not allowed to travel so much as normal. And you spent a lot of time in Georgia. So how long have you been there, and what have you done there the whole time?
Yeah, I arrived there in September 19. Mm-hmm. And my plan in the beginning was continuing to Central Asia,
mm-hmm.
but in the beginning I found 2 street dogs. They are skinny, they are very young, and I tried to find a house for them, and it was very difficult. And I decided to keep the dogs with me until I find a house. Mm-hmm. And the winter was coming, and I say, okay, I stay here for the winter in Georgia. Found a good place in Spain for the dogs. Mm-hmm. And in the spring, I continue to Central Asia, because in the winter is very hard, Central Asia.
Yeah.
And when in the spring, when the time to start arrive, Corona arrive also.
Yeah.
And I get stuck there. And the beginning was hard, because I was in the main city, in Tbilisi. And the city, you can go outside of your house, but the city was closed. You can't go outside of the city.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't know what happened in this time. And yeah, it was strange times. But after that, it was nice, because Georgia was closed for the tourists. And we were inside. And we have all the country for us without tourists.
Mm-hmm.
And we can travel a lot in this amazing country. I recommend it a lot, because it's, I don't have words to describe this country, because you can't imagine. There is mountains like 4,000 meters, deserts, like a jungle, a lot. You have many different types of weathers, many type of national parks, like 15, something like that, in a small country. Yeah, it's a really nice country. And because I get stuck there, I discovered the mountain bikepacking.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the thing that I am doing now. Because now, in this time, travel long, crossing borders is not easy. Sometimes impossible. But near your house, you have amazing mountains, for sure. Less if you live in Denmark, maybe, I don't know. but if not, if you don't have mountains, you have forest or whatever. And you can enjoy only doing 30 kilometers, 40 kilometers, and discovering small places. And yeah, and now I am doing like traveling like this. Now here in my country, I come to my country before summer. I am now traveling around in Spain. And yeah.
Yeah, I think this is something what we all experience during this Corona time, is that we always try to travel in crazy places, but never really discovered our own country or the region where we live. And I think, so I did the same. So I did so many trips, just 1 or 2 hours around my house. And it's so cool to finally see all these places which are so close. And it looks like it's the same for you, right? Now you have the time to explore Spain.
Yeah, I bike it a lot in Spain. 2 years ago, I took around 1 year around Spain cycling.
Mm-hmm.
But in roads with panniers, and it's not the same. Now I am in the mountains. And these days, the days before that I was bikepacking in the mountains, I were in a place really, really amazing that I was thinking, this it happened in another country, and I will be, oh, this is amazing, this country is amazing. And this is here, and it's here, and it's really amazing, but you don't appreciate so much when you have always with you something. And this is sad, and yeah, we have to change the mind because I'm sure all the places, all the countries have amazing places around, and you always are thinking, or we are always are thinking, in other countries, something far, and discover new places around your house also can be a great adventure.
Definitely, definitely. So what is your experience with traveling with dogs? Is it easier to get in contact with the locals, or is it or is it more difficult?
No. I started to travel in 2010, and in 2012 I opened this project by Canine, because when I was traveling, a lot of people come to me to take pictures, to ask, wow, with your dog, why, blah, blah, blah. And I was thinking, okay, I have a lot of attention of people. I have to use this attention for something. And mm-hmm. I opened this project, Bicanine, to raise money to different causes, to use this attention and use this attention to a good thing. And mm-hmm. I start to raise money in 2012 to child cancer, against child cancer. Mm-hmm. And it works very well. And the next year I raise money to other illness. And yeah, every year I am raising money to different causes. And this is because I am traveling with a dog, because I have the attention of the people. Yeah. And when you are traveling, in Europe is more normal have a pet like a dog.
Yeah.
People come to you and ask, and yeah, I want to take a picture of the dog. But in other countries like Turkey, or Morocco, or Georgia, like the dogs are like a, okay, I have one dog outside with a chain in there, and
it's more for protection, right?
Yeah, or for the sheep or something like that. They don't have. Okay, there are people that have pets, but it's not the usual. And when they see you in a bike with a dog, they are, what is happening? why do you have your dog in your bike? Yeah, it's very funny. Yeah, traveling with a dog open a lot of doors. Not hotel's doors, but doors with the people, yes.
Okay. Yeah, as you said, you're doing a lot of social projects. You're collecting money and you're helping dogs to find new places. So you're bringing street dogs to families. How does this work? I mean, you just told us that you found two dogs in Georgia and then you try to find a home for them. How does it work? How do you... Do you find these families or these houses?
Yeah, I am lucky because I in my social media I have a lot of people, and I only make a post and say, okay, I have these dogs here and I want to find a family, and a lot of people write me, mm-hmm. and I have to choose, and I finally choose a family in Mallorca. It's a nice place. Uh-huh. And there is a woman that she works. Like therapy for, mm-hmm. with dogs, okay. for people,
yeah.
And she wants dogs for work with the people making therapy.
Okay.
And was amazing because these dogs was in the street, very near, very close to death. People helped me to buy medicines, to buy food, to bring the dogs to Spain because people make donations for that.
Yeah.
And now the dogs are giving back all this love that they have, helping people. And yeah, it's a really nice story.
Yeah, that's great. And how does the dogs getting from Georgia to Mallorca? The people coming and picking them up, or... How is the process?
I don't want to take planes with the dogs. Mm-hmm. I say that before.
Yeah.
But in this case, was the unique way to do that.
Yeah.
And I tried to find the one plane, only one, from Georgia to the closest to Mallorca, mm-hmm. and was to Paris. Only one plane, don't to take two planes. And I take the plane to Paris, and in Paris I rent a car, and mm-hmm. I drive to Barcelona, and with the dogs, and this girl take a ferry from Mallorca to Barcelona, and we meet them.
Okay.
I give the dogs, and I take the car again to Paris, and take another plane to Georgia because I was there. My dogs was waiting for me in Georgia.
Okay. So that sounds really, really cool. That's a good project. So that means if some of our listeners wants to rescue dogs, they always can look on your Instagram account if you find street dogs or you have another dog you want to help, right?
I don't do this normally. I do this in Georgia sometimes because in Georgia I was there stopped. But when I'm traveling... It's not easy because you find a lot of dogs in all the countries you find a lot, and okay, you can't stop in every dog you find.
Sure, just too many.
It's very difficult. If people want to help in this situation, it's better they go to associations or some shelters and help them with money or with other kind of thing. Or if they find a dog, yeah, try to find a dog shelter. They know what to do. Depend of the country, of course, but yeah, it's not fine. It's not easy to stop with every dog you find in when you are traveling.
I bet. Yeah. With all the regions you have traveled so far, do you have a favorite country?
Oof.
Is it Georgia?
Georgia is my second home. I never live as long in Georgia than okay, first in Spain, but after Georgia.
Yeah.
Georgia is really, really special, and yeah, I recommend it a lot. I don't know if it's my favorite, because every place you go, you find amazing places. Or Turkey is also amazing. Mm-hmm. I don't know, in the north, Norway is, I love Norway. Or Morocco, or I don't know, in the Balkans. I travel a lot in the Balkans, and I can't say a country. I want to say Spain, because okay, I'm from Spain, but in Spain you can't change the landscape in few kilometers. And when you are traveling with panniers, if you travel in a country like, I don't know, Finland, I cross all Finland from the north to the south, 2,000 kilometers, and it's pretty the same.
Yeah.
Okay, there are some things different. Yeah, but it's flat and trees.
Yeah.
And okay, I love Finland also, but okay, this can be a little bit bored.
Yeah.
But in countries like in Spain, you can change the landscape only with 100 or 200 kilometers, and you change.
Yeah.
And you have different, you have mountains, you have deserts, you have forests, you have a lot of different landscapes or weather, or
okay,
I don't know. Portugal also a lot, I like a lot, and no, I don't know. Yeah, you have to find your own place in every country that you visit.
As you said before, probably every country has their own little paradise, or something like where it's super beautiful. But do you have any country still on your bucket list where you definitely want to travel to?
Of course, yeah. I said before that I don't take planes with my dogs. I was in South America without my dogs 10 years ago. Yeah. And I want to cross America from Alaska to Patagonia. This is like a dream, but without a plane. And this is not easy. You have to find a way to go there without a plane. Yeah. Also, I tried two times to go to Central Asia.
Mm-hmm.
The last time was when I get stuck in Georgia, but 6 years ago, I try also to go there, and finally I have to come back. And also Central Asia is in my list.
Yeah.
Africa, of course, Australia, all the world.
Okay. So it doesn't get bored so quickly. That means you still have a lot on your list.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. I always say I am starting to travel.
And what will be your next travel? Do you have anything planned?
My plan for the next month is to stay in Spain, because I was outside of Spain for 2 years, and I have a lot of friends here that I want to see.
Yeah.
And I will be here making bikepacking trips in the mountains and stay time with friends. And after that, I will see the next year what happened with these borders and everything. And I will see. I don't know yet. I don't have plans for the next year. Only the next month here in Spain, and I will see next year.
Okay. So Pablo, thanks a lot for your time, and I wish you all the best for the winter, and hopefully borders getting open next year so that you can start traveling again. And I hope we talk soon again, and talking about some new adventures with your dogs. So thanks a lot.
Okay. Thank you to you. Thank a lot for inviting me to this podcast. Thank you for Schwalbe. In Spain we say Schwalbe, and you say Schwalbe, no?
We say Schwalbe.
Schwalbe.
Yeah.
In Spain we say Schwalbe. Thank you to Schwalbe for this support all these years. Okay, thank you for all these people listening my bad English. yeah, enjoy the bike.
So, thanks a lot. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.